The Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
My name's Angie Schools, and in our lead story this evening, I'm joined by Dr. Butsanani Tacheba, who is the Director of Science and Technology and Human Capacity Development at SASCAL. Welcome, Doctor.
Thank you so much, Angie.
What was the main goal of this year's conference on a circular economy, renewable energies, and green hydrogen in Africa?
At this point, I'll say that some of the key highlights are basically from a policy framework, being able to integrate the different interested parties, being the academic, researchers, the students, the political linkages, especially here in Namibia with the government. I'm sure you'd have appreciated that the opening or the keynote speaker for the opening of the conference was none other than the Deputy Minister of Industries, Mines and Energy, Honorable Krohn. And I think one of the key highlights was basically in terms of the kind of capacitation to ensure that there's clarity on aspects of renewable energies, circular economy, as well as green hydrogen. Namibia being in a position where they've really already spearheaded some initiatives around renewable energy and green hydrogen, including the policy aspects of it, as well as on the regulatory aspect. So I think the key highlights was that, you know, there's a lot of opportunities to be gained from the research community, not only here in Namibia, but from the broader context of the continent. Because from a SASCAL perspective, our view is that being able to bring in research communities from West Africa, where we've got our counterpart partner, Waska, bringing researchers from Germany, as well as the ones from Southern Africa, to address specific key challenges of climate change and a common ground allows them to be able to come up with common solutions or identify the best solutions that they can be able to take forward. So from a policy perspective, I think that was the positive. From a technical perspective, I'll say that the key takeaways are basically that there's been a lot of capacity, especially for master's and PhD students. They've been able to have the opportunity to present their research and outputs, which puts them in a better position now in terms of progressing their academic careers. Mm-hmm. It also gave them a very good platform to be able to have exposure of presenting their research in a context of a conference, which normally is part of the training for academics to be able to do that. The specific component that I also want to highlight is that from an environment and health perspective, we also had a keynote submission mainly from the Ministry of Environment, Forestry, and Tourism. And one of the key elements that was brought in by the deputy, by the acting executive director, was the fact that there is need to ensure that renewable energies are very well crafted to be part of the fabric of society, because you cannot afford to impose renewable energies. You cannot afford to impose technologies. So insofar as you're concerned, we need to be able to embrace the cultural aspects when we bring in technology. The classical case being not only renewable energies, but green hydrogen. I think green hydrogen in terms of it being implemented in the communities, in the traditional areas, there's need for it to be able to embrace the common aspirations of the common people on the ground so that they can be able to embrace it and to be part of it. And we have been able to see from that perspective that projects like the Dowries Green Hydrogen have basically ensured that it's not only a corporate focus, it's actually supposed to build within the fabric of society that it operates within, and then also bring in the communities on board from a job perspective, from a societal perspective, which I thought was quite key. But from a health perspective, it was also flagging issues of the use of what I call maybe raw energy resources, because the bigger part of Africa is not linked to the grid. So most people are using mainly what I would say unprocessed fuels, carbon-based fuels, where it's either firewood. Some people actually cook with cow dung, and the fumes that actually come out of those common practices is that eventually they've got a health connotation that basically puts a burden on the health system in those countries. So the opportunity to have renewables being adopted at country level and being sealed through proper regulatory frameworks to ensure that it benefits the society means that they can really be able to, one, have access to clean and sustainable fuels. Two, it will safeguard to a large extent issues of health that comes with it because it's clean. And then from an environmental perspective, we know that from a climate mitigation perspective, we'll also then be able to square mark. So those are some of the key highlights that I'll say that the conference has been able to highlight this far.
How does this third edition build on the outcomes of the previous conferences?
Yes, you'd find that the themes, though somewhat similar, have been able to maybe provide some thrust points in different areas. The first edition was in Ghana, in West Africa. And I think at the time, the main emphasis was really on capacity development. The second version, which was in Lomé in Togo, which unfortunately we could not participate, but we were part of the organizing committee. The key highlights was that, circular economies, especially the processing of waste into energy was quite key. Those were some of the critical aspects. But now coming to Southern Africa, the key highlights has mainly been around renewables and the adoption of renewables, especially those that are generated, products that are being generated from renewable energies. Lascar Point being the Green Hydrogen Initiatives, which is why you find that as part of the implementation of this conference, there's very big thrust and linkages to the government under the Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy, but also there's also critical components of ensuring that the excursions that follow on basically demonstrate what came out of the conference by visiting the Darius Green Hydrogen Village to basically demonstrate the aspects of how do you turn an opportunity of harnessing renewable energy like solar and being able to use it to basically pilot green hydrogen production with the view that you can then be able to translate it to a downstream value chain through the production of green fertilizers and basically providing something that becomes really tangible in an area that would otherwise be hostile. So that's the pure demonstration that, these kind of schemes can then be replicated. The model has been demonstrated. So anybody who can want to demonstrate it means that the blueprints are already there.
This event is co-organized with University of Rostock and funded by German's Federal Ministry of Research. What role does the international partnership play in advancing Namibia's green agenda?
Right. So you may be aware of the fact that the global green transition is really something that is really being advocated for. I mean, you take it all the way from the Sustainable Development Goals and the issues around climate action to say that the world is really trying to go in the direction of adopting renewables, being able to cut down on the carbon footprints. So you need carbon neutral technologies to be able to be adopted so that then we can be able to avoid the increasing greenhouse gases, which leads to temperature rises. So the partnership that we have around the revolving ICERA conferences is basically to say we would want throughout each of the conferences to constantly bring in the relevant partners, policymakers, academic researchers, students, so that the constant development or evolution of new technologies can always be integrated. That way we know that it can always be able to bring in the relevant parties. Now, under the current context, you'll find that the Federal Ministry of Research, Technology and Space in Germany has got a long-term plan in terms of climate mitigation. In the same context, there's a lot of research that is currently ongoing. Germany has been doing very well in terms of development of technologies around solar PV, photovoltaics. So in the same context, it's really part of the expansion of the research. But to a large extent, also to be able to find opportunities to expand the research portfolios in other parts of the world. So being a partner that has been funding initiatives like SASCAL and WASCAL, they find an opportunity that the interaction between the research communities in Germany, in West Africa and here is really relevant. That's how Rostock University comes in. They do a lot of research in the same space. They're capacitating a lot of researchers and students, including quite a lot of students that are coming from West Africa and Southern Africa. So in the same context, the idea then is that this partnership should really leverage on the strength of the research communities to find tangible solutions, bring in the relevant technologies in the Namibian context to ensure that then they can be able to push the evolving renewable energies and green hydrogen initiatives.
What are some of the most promising renewable energy or hydrogen projects that was showcased and discussed at the conference?
One of the basic discussions in our initial discussions of bringing the conference to Namibia was basically to say that we want to showcase or demonstrate that what has come out of research, what has been prototypes in laboratories has now been taken out into the pilot phase. The bigger aspirations always has been that behind any demonstrated technology, there's an opportunity for investment. And when you get opportunities for investment, you are then basically, you can say you can scale up. And scaling up literally means being able to supply, you know, being able to link up the supply chains. Now, in the context of the green hydrogen ecosystem or industry, what this conference is doing basically is that it has highlighted that the work that has been done in here in Namibia from identifying, let me say, research-based initiatives around opportunities where you can use solar to basically catalyze water molecules to produce hydrogen, which can then be put down into other value chains, means that then, you know, is a great opportunity that can be explored. So it was demonstrated that beyond the initiatives of development of green hydrogen, there's far much better aspiration pulled forward. The key examples that have been given in this particular case is the example of the Dowdy's Green Hydrogen Project, as well as the Clean Energy Project, which is also in Walvis Bay. Now, with the Clean Energy Project, one of the key issues that was quite highlighting and also came in maybe in the right time is that they have demonstrated that through technology, you can then be able to produce the green hydrogen. And they've also demonstrated that with further technology development and with the right kind of investment, you can then be able to scale. In my view, I think the move now for Clean Energy to then, you know, dilute its stakeholder base in terms of dilution of the local ownership with the international or the expertise that would then basically take it to the next level is a prudent one in the sense that probably Clean Energy, because they're not the technology developers, they may have done the part that they would have done. The next level, which is basically the scaling up, which needs more investments, which means that then it can be a replication of even the production or the revamping of the production capacity. That means more solar facilities. That probably means even more capacity in terms of work that is to be done on the ground to be able to meet the demands of the market. So I think as long as they can be able to identify off-takers, I think then we're looking at an industry that is really just about to take off. So I think those are some of the key aspects that have been highlighted by this conference to say that there are opportunities of where the research that has been done and the demonstrations to the pilot phase of the projects are pointing in the direction where there's ample opportunities for commercialization and uptake on the solutions from a commercial perspective.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Tacheba, just the last question. How do you see the outcomes of this conference shaping policy investment or education in Namibia and the wider region?
Yes, I think I'll start with the capacity development, which is a portfolio that I actually see. For the last 3 or 4 years, you may be aware that SASCAL, with the funding that is coming from the Federal Ministry of Technology Space and Research Technology and Space, we have been implementing a very aggressive capacity development, mainly around the areas of technical skills or TVET, to support industries that are related to the green hydrogen space. At the same time, we have also been doing capacity building for expertise in the engineering space, in the chemical industry space, just basically to ensure that there can be enough capacities when the industry sort of takes off. So from the SASCAL perspective, I would say that going forward, the outcomes of this conference and also the activities or the initiatives that we have, still building on the same, because like I said, it's a revolving conference. We're looking at opportunities of having some of our students participate in the same conferences, even in bigger numbers going forward. There, they can then be able to draw and do cross-fertilization with their counterparts and bring in what I think is very invaluable knowledge, which they can also then be able to plow back into their own ecosystem. So that is the one around capacity development. In terms of the next phase of the conference, of which we are also party to, it's really to start seeing what are the tangible prototypes that are coming out from the continent that are talking to the circular economy, that are talking about new and rudimentary technologies that are constantly evolving around renewables, but also now to explore the divergence of the product line from a green hydrogen perspective. And then the other aspect that is also unique is the issue of the biofuels that can be generated. So these are the areas that we're looking forward in the next phases of the conference. Mm.
Dr. Tacheba, thank you so much for your time. It was lovely, you know, having this conversation with you.
I appreciate it, Jim, and thanks a lot to your listeners.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.